Back to Psalm 90 in your Bibles, beloved. I thought you might enjoy this change of scenery, by the way, from my study where we started many weeks ago to the family lounge quite a while, but now the family table. Normally, I sit on the opposite end of the table for our family worship and our meals, and this is a precious place, so welcome to the Cantrell table. Psalm 90, as we feast at God's table, most of all, on God's word, honest but hopeful amidst harsh realities, how to pray when you're perishing, turning to the hymnal of the early church, Jesus' own songbook, some of God's best medicine for our souls. And someone has said, Psalm 90, the thrust of this magnificent prayer is to ask God to have mercy on frail human beings living in a sin-cursed universe. Here we are in a Genesis 3 fallen, groaning, aching world. As I recommended a powerful sermon from Pastor John, from Dr. MacArthur last Sunday on the reality of sin that's behind the riots, behind the chaos, behind the pain and hurt and anger and rebellion in our world. The Lord has shown us how not to lose hope and how to trust him in the midst of the fallenness and the vanity and futility, what the whole book of Ecclesiastes is about. And most interpreters believe Psalm 90 was written by Moses during the wilderness wanderings when, because of the sin of the 10 out of 12 spies, unlike Joshua and Caleb, who failed to trust the Lord, when they saw the giants in the land, God judged a whole generation. They perished in the wilderness, and Moses had to live through that. And that is the setting here of this psalm, it would seem. But we're going to look at three stages of praying while perishing, three stages in learning how to be honest and have hope in the midst of a broken world. The first will be praising and then perishing and then praying. Praising, verses 1 and 2, and then perishing, verses 3 through 11, and then praying, verses 12 through 17. Let's look briefly at praising in verses 1 and 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. I remember when my parents moved to Nairobi, Kenya, when I was in university, and I no longer had a home in Texas to go back to on summer break and at the end of school term in university. And I would visit my parents in East Africa, and that's what the Lord used to give me a burden for this land, this continent, and for the needs of the church in Africa, and what the Lord used to bring us eventually to South Africa. But the travel and the not having the home I grew up in Katy, Texas, outside of Houston, was a huge reminder to me and a deep lesson in the Lord as my home. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Reminds us of the psalm I began with at the right before lockdown and our last Sunday in the Antioch Sanctuary before we were locked out of there for almost 3 months. Remember Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Mighty, the best, safest, securest place in the universe to dwell. What a comfort this would have been to the wandering Israelites, homeless in the desert. And so here we are in this transient age, as the Bible often says, we are pilgrims, sojourners, merely passing through, aliens and strangers. We're all kind of living out of our suitcases, and all the instability we've been through lately reminds us all the more to hope in the Lord, our true stability, our eternal home. And Deuteronomy 32 comes to mind, also from Moses. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are his everlasting arms. We can be so deceived by our security systems, by the best of our earthly homes and all kinds of false assurances and all the temporal things that we trust in. But the longer you live, the more you realize that we move in to our temporary physical dwellings, before long we move out. And sometimes robbers move in, robbers move out. and time races on, but God is unchanged. He is our abiding place. He is our greatest certainty. He is our permanence. He is our dwelling place. And I love verse 2. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Let that sink in for a moment, beloved. Who made God? When did the triune almighty God begin? Never. He's the uncreated creator. Back a billion plus a gazillion plus another gazillion years. God was there. And into the future, a trillion and another trillion and a gazillion years. God is there. The Alpha, the Omega, the one who was and is to come, the Lord God, the Almighty. It's been said from God's eternal perspective, this whole universe is but a newborn child fresh from the womb, right? He is the Ancient of Days. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.